And a word of appreciation on behalf of the pastoral staff for the kindnesses that were displayed and words given. I can testify that at this point I've not had to be solaced over any tough board meeting since I've been at TPC. You folk have been extremely kind and cooperative, and I just appreciate so much this team that the Lord has given us, and we enjoy working together. But thank you for your words of encouragement and support. 2 Kings, the 7th, introduces to us an interesting scenario. But you cannot appreciate the scenario until you have the setting, brutal and bitter and shocking setting, found in chapter 6. Without chapter 6, chapter 7 really has no meaning. Let's pray. Speak to us now, Lord. Amen. The heroes of the story are four lepers. Leprosy in the Holy Bible came to be in an allegory, a metaphor of sin. In the spiritual context, all of us are lepers. Let the lepers give themselves an amen. Amen. We're lepers, Mario. Leprosy was a vicious disease. If Dr. Deshay was standing up here, he could tell you much about leprosy. He gave good years of his life to lepers in Africa. A disfiguring disease, because leprosy attacks nerve endings. The most dangerous thing about a leper is he can't feel. If he steps on a nail, he doesn't know it. If he's got a leprosy in his hand and he touches a fire, he can't feel it. And it makes leprosy a very powerful metaphor for sin, because the sinner doesn't always sense the danger he's doing to himself. You should have said amen. He's puncturing himself and harming himself, and the things and the thoughts and the deeds that he's doing are doing way more damage than the sinner can sense. And so sin is like leprosy. It disfigures, and while it's disfiguring, it keeps you from sensing the depth of your destruction. Four lepers are the heroes in the story. Unlikely heroes, as we think about this theme of save to serve. Lepers were put outside the camp, but in this case, the camp they're put outside of does not represent the church as much as in this story, the lepers represent how the church is viewed by society. You heard me talk about my interest and excitement that the candidacy of Dr. Ben Carson has raised interest in the Adventist church, because to many people we are lepers. We don't fit. We don't belong. They have a mistaken view of who we are. And these lepers are outside the camp of Samaria, the city of Samaria, which is under siege, and they're not wanted there. As true believers of God, sinners saved by grace, we're not really understood, not really accepted. We're outside the veil. But God's got a special mission for lepers. I'll say it again. God's got a special mission for lepers. You may be leprosy filled and you may not be totally understood and you may not be totally on your job accepted, and some of your family members may put you outside and you're not invited to family reunions. My mother went through that, the only Adventist in her family and not included, but no matter what the world sees and how it treats the leper, God's got a special mission for lepers. God's got a special mission for sinners saved by grace. We can't talk about the lepers yet. We're not ready for them yet. Sister America, we got to go to chapter 6. America said, let's go. The city of Samaria is in siege. And in this story, it represents the world we live in. Our world is surrounded by problems. And they don't know what to do with them. You know, I'm amazed as I hear these people running for office. These people who would be president. And the things that they say, Cecil, and the proclamations they make and the ideas they offer. And when you listen to the debates, it's just almost hilarious. Because between you and me, can I be blunt about it? They ain't gonna do nothing. You know that, I know that. And you know what? They know that. But they sing the song and expound the platitudes and then here they are, these wealthy, I mean rich fat cats running for office, talking about their concerns for the middle class. They ain't never been middle class. And if they were, it was so long ago they forgot what the middle class is. You riding around in a limousine talking about you concerned about the middle class. Come on, give me a break. But we are surrounded. Congress is surrounded. The president is surrounded. The United Nations is surrounded. The armies of the world are surrounded by conditions we cannot solve. We can't manufacture enough bombs. We can't come up with enough programs. We can't pass enough legislation. It's, in fact, it almost seems the more we do, the worse the problems of the world get. More hunger, more starvation, more unfairness, more injustice, more insanity, more sickness, more unhealed disease. More and more, no matter what we say, what we do, there's more and more. And that's the way Samaria was. The Syrians had come, had surrounded them. And in the story, the Syrians represent the forces of evil that have locked mankind in. But in chapter 6, to show you how bad it had gotten, Chapter 6 paints a scenario that turns the stomach. I'm reading verse 28. Well, let's go to verse 26. Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." Verse 27, he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, The woman said to me, "Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." Are you listening to it, Brother Pastor? Do you see what had happened to this city called Samaria? Hear me, church! Society had gotten so desperate, they're now feeding upon one another. Does that sound familiar? Watch it now, all in the same boat. See, in this country, we're all in the same boat. We all have the same problems. We all have the same issues, but we're feeding on one another. We're destroying ourselves eternally. We're destroying our own children. We're destroying our own homes. We are encased in dilemmas beyond our control. It is the work of the Lord. It's the work of the Lord. The Lord has to bring humanity to the point where we understand there's no way out but God. No answer. Vote for who you want to vote for. No answer. You're a member of a political party, God bless you, but they have no answers. And this idea that one party is more righteous than the other is the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are no answers here. All answers reside in the heavenly sanctuary. The woman said, we made a deal. We'll eat my child today, we'll eat your child tomorrow. And she continues her complaint. So we boiled my son. Now mothers who have carried children and borne them, can you imagine this? Sister Avondale, can you picture yourself making such a compact with a neighbor? Things have gotten so bad. We'll have your child for breakfast today, my child for supper tomorrow night. Can you imagine these two women, tender-hearted, soft-footed, child-bearing, sweet women, have been driven to a form of insanity where now feasting on one another's children is a deal made by mothers. So we boiled my son. How long does it take to boil your son? Did they season it? No, folk, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to get you to understand the desperateness, because the Bible is painting a picture of our world. We've reached the point where the things that we do to one another, no longer, we're desensitized to our own self-destruction. Drugs were illegal, now we've made them legal. Liquor breaks up homes and tears homes apart, but it's the major sponsor on our TV sports programs. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? We're offering one another up for sacrifice. And we do so with patience and deliberation. So they boiled the child. And the implications are, having boiled the child, Sonia, they ate the child. We boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. Remember, dear two, remember, Molly, this is the picture of the world we live in. The Bible is saying to us, we have reached a point in our own society where normal sensitivities, normal mores, normal principles have now been cast aside. We now feast one upon the other. Until we have a Congress now that has become totally dysfunctional. We have leaders who don't have the guts to stand up for just simple common sense. I listen to these debates. Just would somebody say something that has any common sense? Just one sentence. And I know I may be talking about one of your favorite candidates. Go on and vote for him. He ain't going to do nothing but vote for him. Come on. Go to the booth, close the curtain, pull down the needle by his hand. He ain't going to do nothing. Why? The problems are bigger than mankind. Only God. I got to say it one more time. Only God. Only God. Now, earlier in the chapter, it was a great famine, verse 25, and they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Now, first of all, they're eating one another's kids. But now, watch it. They have lost the sense of value. They're now eating donkeys' heads and birds' dung. And they're paying premium prices for it. The women are at the marketplaces fighting over the droppings from birds. Fighting over a donkey's head, and they're paying top price for junk. They're paying top price for junk. I said they're paying top price for junk. We live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, where we're paying top price for junk. Somebody say amen out there. The movies we watch, the entertainment we have, the food, top price for junk. And then when that did not satisfy, they start eating one another's children. Now in the midst of this terrible situation, lepers show up. Now folk, I enjoy the Bible. And I have a very vivid imagination when it comes to the Word of God. The king gets upset when he hears this story. I can't help you. He's an honest politician. I have no answers. They're rare, you know. They're rare. I ain't got no answers. I can't help you. But then, because this king is wicked, he actually thinks that this whole problem is being caused by the prophet Elisha, whom he has not been listening to. And so he says to the woman, I can't help you, but if I can get my hands on this Elisha, I'm going to solve this thing. Verse 33, while he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him saying to him, and the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? So he sends word, chapter 7, to Elisha. And when the officer comes from the king, here's what Elisha says. Tomorrow, thus saith the Lord, about this time a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. In other words, Elisha says, tomorrow. Not only will you not be eating donkey's head and bird's dung, you're going to be eating top-notch food and paying cheap prices. Amen. Today, you're eating horrible food and paying top prices, but tomorrow, my God's going to work so fast, it's going to reverse in 24 hours. And tomorrow, the best food will be cheap. Today, the worst food is high priced. Now, only God. Y'all just too calm for me. Every now and then, we ought to remember God don't need a lot of time. Hey, every now and then, you ought to remember that God can do it. If right now is needed, my God can do it right now. Don't need a year, don't need a month. You need food now, I'll bring food now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yes, sir, I'm traveling with my wife. Traveling with my wife. We're coming home from our honeymoon. Yes, sir. Driving along out there in Wyoming somewhere. Some place, you know, where the roads are long and whatever. I get a flat tire. My new little bride, you know, you want to seem competent, in charge, problem solver. Pull over, pull out the luggage, get the jack out. My wife is standing there in the hands of an able young man. Start jacking it up, but don't pay attention that the car is kind of leaning on the jack. I haven't found a stable place, so kneel, and the car starts leaning back on the jack, and I'm realizing I got a problem here. Wife is watching me, looking at this fool that she just married, can't even jack up a car, but she's too kind to say anything. I'm talking about it right now. What's the pastor talking about? Right now, right now. And I'm saying to myself, I need some help right now, because this is a mess here, and I don't know how to get out of this. Lights show up. You can't make stories like this up. Lights show up. Brother shows up in a pickup truck. I didn't know Jesus could drive a pickup truck. And he says, got straw in his mouth. Jesus has a Texas accent. Young man, looks like you got yourself a heap of problems here. I said, brother, the heap is higher than you can imagine, because this car is leaning over. Don't worry about it. Stand right on back there now. I got this thing in hand. Brother got that truck, put a rope on that bumper, straighten that car up. I got ready. No. He said, you just stand there by your wife. What's the pastor talking about? Right now! Right now, Jesus showed up right now, fixed that tire, and I'm going to tell you, it was a long road ahead of us. You could see for a mile. We start putting our stuff back in the trunk, turned to look, wasn't no lights, wasn't no truck. But Jesus showed up right now. Somebody needs to say amen. Yes, sir. And so Elisha said, we're not going to wait on any decree. Tomorrow, good food, cheap price. And the man said, this cannot be. Elisha says, mm-hmm. You're going to see it. You ain't going to eat nothing. Then the story suddenly changes. I like the way the Bible operates. It's like a movie, you know. Now the lights come up and they shine on these four fellows who have half a nose and half an ear. Toes are missing. Fingers are nubs. Four lepers. Now the lepers, I already said, represent the church. See, the church is caught between the problems in Samaria and the devil outside. Are you listening to me? And they begin to have this conversation. Now, the reason why I'm not reading all the text is I started late and I want to get through it. I know you want to go eat, but I'm going to finish my sermon before you eat. Spent all week working on this stuff. Shoot. Don't say what I got to say. So the lepers have this conversation. Say, look, we can't go back in the city. We ain't welcome there. If we stay here, we're going to die. Let's go out here to the Syrians. If they take us out, okay. Well, then the Bible gets delicious. I love this book. Look at verse 7. Chapter 7, 2 Kings. Therefore they arose. You can't do nothing, saints, unless you rise up. Got to rise up. We can't do nothing sitting in these pews. Come on now. You got to rise up and face the situation. I don't care what it is. God has given the church an assignment. Don't need to dwell on that. They arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses. Wait a minute. Look at verse 6. Well, verse 5. And they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. They all said kind of a, mm-hmm. You should have said amen. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when is the church going to learn that while you're praying, God's taking care of business? Amen. While you're on your knee, God is sending angels. Amen. While you have decided there's no going to be, things are never going to be any better, it can't be solved, God is, you see, what you've got to come to understand is that your problems never catch God off guard. He saw that problem before you were born. When the problem shows up, God is already there. Syrians are God. They were surprised. The church needs to stop being surprised. There's no surprise. John Reed with God. He's a healing God. So when folks get healed, what's a surprise? God can do anything. When your rent gets paid and you ain't got no money, what's a surprise? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. When the Lord solves that problem in your marriage, solves that problem with your child that you thought could not be solved, what's the surprise? God is a solving God. Amen. Ever surprised? But look at verse 6. For the Lord, for the who?
Lord.
For the Lord, for the who?
Lord.
What has the Lord done? He caused. Stop right there. He just caused. The Lord caused. That's what he does. He causes the rain to fall when the ground is dry. Come on now. Hey, he calls. He causes peace to come when there is no peace. He causes hope to fill your heart when you've run into despair. He causes you to have joy when you ought not have any joy. God causes. That's what he does. That makes him God. So the Syrians are gone. Well, let's get to the good part. The Lord made them think that the Hittites were black folks. They're black folks. You want to get somebody out the way, you send the black folks. You send us. We'll clean it up. God knows what to do. He sent the Hittites. That the Hittite warriors, he said, they've hired the Hittites. The Syrians said, we out of here. We ain't mess with them ghetto boys. We out of here. That's not in the notes. I just got hit me as I was standing up here. Yeah, you know you don't put stuff like that in your notes. Well, here, my point is, they were gone. So the lepers, verse 8, I got to get to the lepers. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank. Brother, they got there. And Dale, the tents were empty. But the Vegalinks were still there. Come on, y'all. The macaroni and cheese was laid up there on the, come on now. The peas and rice were left behind. And the leper said, hey, there's a God somewhere. And they begin to eat and drink. And pass me a bit more. Pass me a bit more. Yes. They're having a fall, just having a ball in that place with all that good news. Sitting in church every Sabbath with all that good news. Studying those Sabbath school quarterlies, getting all that good news. Listen to tapes by Brooks and Pearson and the rest of them, all that good news. Got tapes piled up so you can listen to sermons till Jesus comes 3 times. All that good news. Just piled up. Books, read books, everything she thought, let alone wrote. You got it right there. Certificates, you took this by 20th Century Bible course, amazing facts. You know more Bible than God himself. All that good news. Sitting in the tent, eating it up all by yourself. And the next verse says, they said to one another, we do not well. That's the subject of my sermon. We do not well. This is a day of good tidings. Only the lepers have the good news. Only the Adventists have the good news. And we're sitting in tents with big arches and chandeliers and organs and pianos, eating the macaroni and cheese of God's word, not telling a soul. We got a church with 1,236 members on the books. Can't find half of them. And of the half that show up here from Sabbath to Sabbath, less than half of those are involved in the ministry of this church. God's heart is torn up, broken. Here is a day when the Samaritans, the people God has assigned to us, the citizens of Tacoma Park and Washington, D.C., They don't know that the Syrians are gone. They don't know that God can solve it. And we know it, and we're eating it up ourselves. God says we do not well. We do not well. People are starving. People think Obama can solve the problems. He can't do it. They're waiting on Carson and Trump. Lord, help us. Trying to keep my politics to myself now. Lord, give me strength. To solve problems. Can you imagine? Have you listened to some of these people? I think I'm going to run for office. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, people are looking for answers where there are no answers. Hope where there is no hope. Solutions that cannot be produced. They're looking for it. And the church of God, filled with lepers, we know what God can do. Some of you, if I shut up and let you testify, would say how the Lord got you through this problem and that sickness and that problem and that finance. You could tell, I know there's a God that can deliver. You know you'd tell it. We do not well. Our bellies are full. And the earth around us, the towns around us, the communities around us are starving, starving. The Bible says they went to the walls of the city. Verse 10. They went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, we went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human. Only horses and donkeys tied in the tents intact. And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household. Now, here is the major question, Sister Richardson, in the sermon. I've just come to the major question in the sermon. It took him long enough to get there. I've just come to the major question. What made the gatekeepers believe them? They're lepers. Somebody walked into the gate, he ain't got half a nose. Waving hands and ain't got no fingers. Hey! You up there? Syrians are gone. Why? Why would the gatekeepers believe them? It's obvious, y'all. Why? They didn't go up to the gates empty-handed. They had a chocolate sandwich in this hand. Had a bowl of rice in this hand. And they were chewing and slobbering. And they said in between gulps, hey, y'all. Excuse me. The Syrians are gone. The gatekeepers didn't hear nothing they said. They saw the vigilance. come on, James. They saw the evidence. If you want the folk in Tacoma Park to believe us, we got to have some evidence. Ought to be some smooth skin because we are vegans. Yes, sir. Ought to be a nice car because we're faithful in returning tithe. Ought to be hope in our eyes, because God has seen us past our problems. You got to have some evidence that there's a God in heaven. You can't come with just talk. You got to come with a walk that says, my God is able. My God can fix it. If you ain't got no evidence, shut up. The gatekeepers can't hear you. When they saw them sandwiches and drink and the salad, they said, hey, somebody go tell the king. Now notice, they sent somebody to the king. Did you see that? I see them gatekeepers. Said, why? You go tell the king we gonna go get some rice and peas down here, because we tired of eating birds' dung and donkey's heads. When you can show to people, when you can display to people what God has done, they'll believe you. I said they'll believe you. I said they'll believe you. Do you have any evidence? Has God ever helped you? Come on, did God save you? Has God paid some bills for you? Hey, do you have evidence? Somebody say, cry out right now, I got evidence. Say it again, I got evidence. I know what God can do. The story ends with that stupid servant of the king. When the word got out, there was food out yonder. The Bible's full of humor. They opened the gates, and this same dude who said, would to God such a thing can happen, now that God has done it, he goes and stands in the doorway. It's right in the Bible. Come on, y'all. And they run him down. It's in the Bible. They stepped all over him, killed him with his self-important self. When is Tacoma Park going to leave these tents and take some evidence into the streets of Tacoma Park and say to people, we serve a God who can break the siege. We serve a God that can deliver. We serve a God who is able. I ask you again, do you have any evidence? I said, do you have any evidence? If I gave you a chance to testify, do you have any evidence? Because without that evidence, the world has no need of you. We got enough people talking, saying nothing. We need some folks now standing with evidence, declaring deliverance has already come. He that shall come will come. Venture with me, will not tarry. Anwar.
God is a good God.